If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hello, hello.
Holy shit. Things are feeling weird here. I was actually going to start and say yellow. And then you did that to save me from myself, I think.
Caroline and I are, yeah, it is in my own expense.
Yeah, Phoebe and I started recording today 2 hours ago, maybe more, 2 hours and some change. And the Thursday episode is longy, but it's also, as I said, instant classic. It's, I think, so good, don't you?
Guys, because to be completely candid, Phoebe's when I started recording that, I was drunk.
She was drunk and feeling silly. And like, I love when she's feeling silly instead of automatically annoyed with me. Most times we get on here and she automatically can feel the annoyance from miles away. Literally from music from Nashville, I can feel it. Almost just talks to you. Okay, so, but welcome back to your one and only source. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name's Caroline. Today, we are going to be talking about a lot of things. Guys, I also kind of say this in the Thursday episode, but we're sort of like finding our footing with the Tuesday episodes, you may have noticed. And I mean, aside from like the extenuating circumstances that have messed with our schedule, but I know we like started out by being like, every Tuesday we're going to dive into the pop culture of the time. But sort of as we've been recapping, we've been realizing that like we did an episode where we did that and we talked about 2007. But it's kind of like once you talk about 2007, that's like you said it all. You know what I mean? So we're going to do episodes like that, but it's going to sort of be like at the end of the season. So like after we do season one, we will kind of like revisit the cultural landscape of season one of Gossip Girl. But I find that when we like reach little moments, we sort of talk about them there. So then we were like, should we change that a little bit? We could talk about Gossip Girl and current pop culture because it is just popping up anywhere and everywhere. Have you noticed? Yes. It's just everywhere. So as long as there are headlines to discuss, that will also be in this episode. But then at the same time, you guys know it's very hard for us to get on here and not just yap. I know you hate that word, but like talk to each other about all kinds of things. And so I want to let you in on sort of what's happening behind the scenes and what we're sort of thinking about. Okay. We want to create segments, different segments, and they'll kind of rotate. So like, let's say there are 10 segments that we have. They're not all going to be in every Tuesday episode, but there might be like 3 or 4. And then I will tell you what to expect. Like I'll post it on social so you know. And we have not figured out what all these segments are. And I feel like this is something that you guys could give us input on if you have opinions. So if you're like, I really liked this in old Tuesday episodes, or you've never done this, but I would like it if you did, or whatever it is, let us know your input. Or if there are like moments that we're just missing, because sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees, you know. But ones we will be including, one is Other People's Business, which is also a tier on the Patreon, where we will talk a little bit about pop culture. But I know some of you guys freak the heck out because we talk about shows you're not watching or whatever. The first tip for that is watch the shows we talk about. Like, we are guiding you through culture, and you're welcome for that. But the other solution to that is, you know, we don't want the whole episode to be that. So Other People's Business is going to be a segment. And then if you want more of that, you're going to go to the Patreon. And there is an episode out right now, a new Other People's Business episode on the Patreon tier two, where we talk all about the Traitors finale. So we're not going to talk about that today, but you can go listen to that if you want. Okay. Another thing, I think we are bringing the rotations back. I've kind of missed them. It feels like the anchor for the episode. It feels like our version of Ride, our version of I Don't Think So, Honey. Like, it just, I don't know. They went away, and I don't know if you guys missed them, but we're bringing those back, and that'll probably be a segment that is in every episode. And then we'll probably have a Gossip Girl, like, themed segment. I don't know what it's going to be called yet. But yeah, there are lots of options. So if you guys have any ideas, comment. If you're on Spotify, you can comment on this episode. You can, of course, DM us. You can comment on Instagram, whatever. But let us know. And just thank you for, like, your patience and dedication to the process as we find our footing on Tuesdays. Because we sometimes you just don't know what's going to work or what's not going to work until you try it, you know?
Yes.
So we just also want to make sure that, like, we're giving the best content, and we got to feel jazzed about what we're talking about. And it's sometimes harder to do that if we, like, have to do a big research episode and it's, like, not enough. So anyway, that's just the housekeeping stuff I wanted to say. There's also a new episode of The Caroline Show for the Caroline Coded tier. You can go listen to if you want, or watch. They're both videos, actually.
Yes.
So if you're begging, you love our reels, and you want more of that, well, girl, you can find it.
Go to the Patreon.
Go to the Patreon. There's a lot of our faces there. Lots. Okay, but anyway, how the heck are ya?
I'm good. I'm hungover.
Are you coming down? Phoebe texted me this morning. She goes, I get hungover now. I was like, okay, you're not different. Everybody gets hungover. And no, I know you've been, like, hungover before.
I know I have, but, like,
he was like, this is crazy. I drank so much. I got wasted. Now I'm hungover.
Another I just feel like
consequences, famously.
I haven't really gone out like I have this weekend in a minute, but typically, like, I think part of why the martini is what, like, changed the
so
chemistry
much
of my body.
Martinis are expensive, but they pack a punch. Like, there's a reason for that.
And it wasn't, again, you'll hear this on the Thursday episode, it wasn't the best martini I've ever had, but the blue cheese olives were fire. They were, like, really good.
Remember when you didn't even like blue cheese?
I know. Can you believe that? I can't believe
Remember
it.
When on Summer House recently they pre-made blue cheese olives and brought them to the club for martinis, and then the girl left them in her purse overnight, and then she opened it and there was, like, blue cheese everywhere in her purse.
I was like, what are you thinking? How do
Why
we
would you
feel
ever do that?
About... I kind of am rooting for Wes and Sierra to get back together.
Dude, I'm fully rooting for Wes and Sierra. Okay.
And
stepping
Jessie?
Into other people's business, stepping into Summer House for a minute. Last week's, I mean, this season of Summer House is a hit, and
it's
I was
so
a little
good.
Worried with the absence of Paige DeSorbo. No,
but
I'm loving
I think,
it.
I think her not being there is low key making it better.
It is. It's getting them out of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's getting Sierra out. She's, and also, so I don't know if you watched What Happens when she and Amanda went on, but Sierra did say, they were like, what are some things that you think are, like, differences between the summer and last that you seem so good? And she was like, Prozac. She was like, I've been on Prozac for a year. And wow. I literally was like, whoa, when she said that, because it is a palpable difference. And she goes, and, like, I just didn't really realize that, like, I could, like, get help and feel a little bit better. And, like, so she was like, I'm very grateful to my Prozac. I'm literally, like, hitting my 1 year, and it was a really, really
She's so,
good
like,
decision.
Jolly, I feel like.
And she right was now. Like, if you are considering exploring something to help you, like, you should, because, and I am like that, like, saying that, like, not that the Prozac is the only thing that's making her, you know, act fun and whatever, because we've seen her act like this before, but I think also that the West thing really depressed her. Like, I think she was
so
very
too.
Very depressed, and she wasn't herself, and, like, this is the Sierra we fell in love with on our screens. She's back.
Yeah.
And so what scares me and rooting for her and West is I think it scares them both enough that I hope they're being cautious, you know, because they obviously have so much love for each other and have so much fun with each other. And I don't think either one of them wants to sacrifice that. I think they also are so genuinely attracted to each other and like probably in love with each other, but West, they're way too scared to go there because
when
of what
was
happened.
Wasted last episode.
And he's like arms around her while she's cooking.
And he's like saying like love of my, like in
love
the, he's
of
like,
my life.
And he's like, wait, the scene when she's like, boys, like Wes, like everybody go
Wes,
to bed.
He's like, no way she doesn't
no
say
my name.
No way
she said my name.
Like he's in love. And also, so then Jesse's all him being like, hey, you don't care if I make out with Sierra. I'm like, do you actually think he doesn't care? Or like, I wonder if Wes just puts on like a tough guy act around Jesse for some reason.
I do think
he
does a little bit because
we
saw him in the pool and like he was
using, like, well, the other guys. It wasn't me. Yeah.
Exactly. Which I was like, no, Wes.
But I am so glad the other guys were there to see it.
Wes was like, he also said, you know, like other, if this was any other guy, like he would like think you were being like a dick. Like
a total fucking dick. And Jesse's like, good thing it's you then, right?
With his fucking
Jesse's
stupid
so
smile.
Stupid. Jesse goes, not that it would stop me.
And then
what?
I know. I'm like, okay, so you're a fake ass friend. You're
also
friends
like,
with Wes
Jesse,
because it like brings
stop
you clout.
Acting like you're genuinely interested in Sierra. Maybe you are, but we all saw the way that you moved with Lexi last summer. And you're here sitting in the confessional telling me that you're ready to settle down and that like so is Sierra
and
that
Wes
isn't.
I thought that was a very weird comment to make.
You are so friend-zoned. That's the only reason she allows you to spoon her, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she and would also, never let you in the bed if you weren't friend-zoned.
No. And Jesse, the way that he's speaking about the way that he feels about Sierra is giving, like, so you felt this way last summer, too, and you, the entire time you were with Lexi, if Sierra
the whole
had,
time you've been acting like this, you've wanted to fuck her. Which, like, who can blame him? She is literally unbelievably
But it's just,
beautiful.
Like, it's a reminder that at the end of the day, a man's a man.
A man is a man. A man is a dog. Put him on a leash.
Okay, Paige. Yeah, that was what Paige would have said.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm rooting for West. I think they maybe need a little bit more time of getting their friendship back in order. And then I think they should get married.
I would love it if they got married. I just like, he also like, and I hate to like give him the credit for this, but he does bring out such a fun side of her. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like she's found a way to bring it out without him. And he's so attracted to that part of her. Like he's like,
he loves her.
I really
like
them together.
He is in love.
I think he's just so scared. One, he doesn't want to be rejected. She is able to hurt him in ways that other people I don't think can.
And he doesn't. And he probably is also so scared to fuck it up again.
To fuck it up. Yeah, exactly. Like. I don't know.
No, Wes, I don't want you to think that we don't remember how you treated her at the reunion and how stupid you fucking acted.
But
I
also
do
I
think
like
it seems like he's grown a lot. And someone made a good point on Twitter. They were like, it's clear that Wes has never really had a bad breakup.
So
he's
exactly
never experienced that.
We like, meet that his ex-girlfriend. He's
he
like,
was genuinely
I'm friends
confused.
With every single one of my exes. Like, I've
Which
never
I do
had... I'm like, okay, but were they actually, are they just trying to be cool girls? Were they actually cool with you? But like, yeah, so he was like, I haven't had that happen before. And I've never had, like, he doesn't know what it's like to not stay friends after a breakup, which is actually the norm. But, cause most times like you weren't friends, you know, but like now maybe you and Sierra are at a point where like you can develop this friendship. Cause they did go pretty much like immediate. Like I know that it was like a slow burn, but it wasn't really, they were pretty upfront about their feelings right away.
Yes.
So anywho, and okay, let's dive into now. I want to talk about Summer or Southern Charm for a second. Here's what needs to be said about Craig Conover. Like
he needs to be sober.
Yes. And I, like Austin, had an issue last season when Craig sits Austin down on the beach and he's like, I'm an alcoholic. Like that's the deal. Whatever. And Austin's like, oh my God. Like Austin actually reacted pretty well to it. But then
that whole
Paige
season
breaks
he
up
was...
with Craig. He starts drinking again. And Austin's like, well, now it's like, he's like, look, I don't actually care if you drink because I have fun drinking with you sometimes. But if you are an alcoholic, then I should be concerned. Like you've now created a narrative where if I see you do something that goes against what you told me, it's like, well, is this a really serious, scary issue? Or were you not?
Like, are you
using
drinking
that
again,
term correctly? Like,
are you drinking again because you feel like now you've broken up with Paige, you have a little more freedom, you go out, you do, like, you're drinking in a mindful way. Like, I think he's branded it at first when he started drinking again, was like, now I know my limit. Like, I know how I can't.
Right. But drink. Even so, like, I thought it was, like, irresponsible of him to use the term alcoholic, because I was like,
I don't think you're prepared
to move forward in the world with that attached to you, and what that sort of,
and wasn't he, and even
expectation I've, people will have for you.
Yes. And it's a very heavy label to put on yourself.
And I also have a really feel big like problem.
It's like, and in Salt Lake when, like, with Whitney carelessly throwing that around about it's Meredith, it's irresponsible.
Something to just toss around. And I also have a problem, like, so there are people in my life, even, who I know, like, not my life really, but, like, people that I know who will do something or say something or whatever bad, and they're drunk, and they will then decide, okay, well, I'm starting to have to face consequences for my actions, and so I'm actually going to say that it was the alcohol, it wasn't me, and I'm an alcoholic and whatever. And, like,
you're not actually addressing
but it's like, also, like, how dare you think that that's this, like, this thing that you can just claim, because, like, you're blaming your bad behavior on alcohol. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, you had it in you. You were able to do or say that whatever you did or said, whether you were drunk or not. But some people who aren't actually alcoholics and don't understand the severity of what that means and aren't ready to make that commitment to, like, being in recovery or, like, going to AA meetings or whatever. Like, I mean, I knew someone who, like, went to an AA meeting and was like, damn, like, it's dark. And I was like, well, yeah, like, addiction ruins people's lives. It's awful. And, like, so I just feel like it's
there's,
like, I don't know. There's, like, I just don't like Craig, the commandeering of that term. It makes it, like,
and it's irresponsible. It's irresponsible to say that in one season and then
not act like somebody also, who is taking.
No, but what I will say, though, is, it's complicated. He did, because I think he is an alcoholic.
I think he has a drinking problem. I don't know. I think there's a difference between being an alcoholic and someone who, like, Lucy Hale describes it as, like, I have an allergy to alcohol. And she's like, I can go days, weeks without drinking. Like, the issue for me isn't being addicted to drinking. I need to drink all the time. She's like, however, when I do drink, I cannot stop. And I turn into a different, I act completely differently. I do terrible things.
But I feel like that is Craig.
It's not. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I think there are different levels of having an unhealthy relationship with alcohol and having an alcohol problem. I think there are different levels of it where, like, but he's not ready to have, like, if you are prepared to go on national television and tell your friend you're an alcoholic and that he needs to treat you nicely because of that and understand that you're doing the work, whatever, then you need to be prepared for next season to either not be drinking like this, or if you are, it to be a crisis. Like, you need to be prepared for the people in your life to now say,
because now
we need
to
get you to rehab then, because this is really concerning based on what you told me.
And it's hard to be in that fucking friend group and be sober, I'm sure. Like, because I mean, that was part of, and I was on Craig's side for a lot of it last season with the way that Austin was treating it before that conversation. It's no secret that everybody watching the show, everybody in Craig's life, we know that he turns into that mean, like,
when he drinks,
incessant, and also belligerent.
That he has
drunk.
A history with substance abuse. Like, he was previously addicted to amphetamine. So, like, do I think that he has a substance issue? 100%. And you know what? If he is an alcoholic, then please God, like, use your platform to educate people on what that means, what that looks like, get help, what all those things, have those hard conversations on camera. What I think I felt like is that he was using it as a get out of jail free card. And, like, you need to excuse, like, I'm acting this way and you need to understand it. And, like, because I'm an alcoholic and I have a problem and I'm addicted to it and I'm an addict. And that's what he kept saying about himself. And it's like, then it's confusing for the people in your life. And it's difficult for the people of America who are watching the show to then see you come on this season and act this way. Because for me, you binge drinking or drinking at all a lot after, like, it seems as though you're in a fresh season of maybe recovery and realizing you have an alcohol problem. Now I'm really concerned, and this is no longer just someone who got a little bit too drunk one night. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who's confided in me that he's an addict. And yeah. I'm watching him get belligerently drunk, and now this feels a lot more serious than something you just have to sleep off. And that's the thing, is that when Austin tries to treat it that way, Craig is like, you're a fucking villain, let me live my life. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but I'm feeling manipulated now because yeah. like you used this, and it's
that's
also
a
like,
good
it's just
point
not fair
I hadn't looked at
to
it
the people
way.
Who are alcoholics is, who really struggle with it,
and I don't want
and
this to come
like that's not the life of someone who's an alcoholic. You cannot just decide, oh, well, today I'm going to tell someone I'm an alcoholic, and so I'm not drinking.
But what I will say is,
and then the next day you need to support me binge drinking. Like, that's not how that works.
And I don't mean this to come across as, I have so much sympathy for people who struggle with addiction and all of that, obviously. Yeah. But I do think a hallmark of people who are actively suffering mm-hmm. from addiction, like are in the throes of it. Mm-hmm. Manipulation is something that they're very yep. good at. And I think mm-hmm. with Craig, that's an example.
I think also at the time, like that was airing, that conversation between him and Austin last season was airing as we were seeing him out, broken up with Paige, drinking and partying. And I was just sort of like, well, also, it's just like a dangerous, like you have a platform and with that comes a responsibility. And it's like, sometimes you want to seem like Betty Crocker and Chip Gaines. And sometimes you want to be this like party boy. And you don't think that anyone should be able to tell you that your images are clashing. But also it's like, he has a lot of trademarks of someone who does struggle with alcoholism, which are like, you act like a completely different person. You don't know when to stop. Your life becomes unmanageable. Bad things happen in your life. Like Paige left you basically because of that. And she told us as much on the show. And she said, you know what? I've told you that I will take the kids and leave if I have to. Like, so it makes me wonder at what, like when the cameras are off, how bad has it gotten? We've seen him for years act like a psycho when he's drinking on our screens. So if you are genuinely ready to have that conversation and tell someone that you're an addict, then I am all here for mm-hmm. that and ready to support you through recovery. What's hard for me is that like, while you're saying this on my television, I'm seeing your Instagram story of you like standing on a bar doing like a shot ski. And I'm just like, okay, well, what message does this send to people who struggle with alcohol that, okay, well, I can, you know, I can be an alcoholic and still have a few shots. Like, no, you can't. That's kind of the thing. Now you can, most people who like struggle with alcohol, it's like an all or nothing thing. Like you do, like you can't decide you're going to casually have a drink every now and then.
And we're seeing that with Craig.
Unable to do it. And that is what I'm seeing with Craig. Exactly. He can't casually drink, which you might be able to go weeks without drinking and you're not addicted to it. You don't need to have it. You might not go through withdrawals, you know, mm-hmm. but you are not someone that should be drinking alcohol, and that's totally fine. And I'm in full support. But then like what you're doing on this season and actually should be as concerning as what Shep did at BravoCon.
Yes. Especially. And like, look, you guys know
that reunion when he got so belligerent.
That was
drunk.
Crazy. And he was so mean like, to Madison. It sucks because I do go through seasons with Craig where I want to like him, like I want to root for him. He's the, in my opinion, like across all the seasons of Southern Charm, he has by and large been the one that I've liked the most. Most of that was
another
when he was
reason
with Paige.
That he needs to cut the drinking because
he's
like,
so much better.
It's gonna ruin your life, dude. Because you can have so many. We can see all this positive change in your life. We can see all these great things you're doing.
But talking to Sally like that. Like, and you guys know we are the number one Sally Carson hater.
We are not Sally Carson defenders.
We don't like her, but you can't.
You can't expect that not to have repercussions in your business life.
Thing.
Like,
if Craig, what's interesting though is Craig, if you were sober, and Sally had been doing what, because, and this is something I feel like Austin tries to do too. They try to like wipe their hands of any instigating they did with Craig, and it's like you guys were pouring gas on that fire a little bit.
Yes.
But Craig, if you were sober or if you hadn't bought a bottle of tequila
And you wouldn't have gotten to this point, and it wouldn't have affected you this way.
And it wouldn't, you wouldn't be the talk of the town. Exactly. We would be able to see both actions clearly.
You'd be able to see bad behavior because there's not abhorrent behavior mm-hmm. happening.
That we'd be able now, to call like, Sally
you become
on
the focus. Like,
Sally, what you're doing is crazy. The way you're acting yeah. is weird. You're so
but then
obsessed
Craig
with
is
Austin.
Is genuinely scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's frightening. It looked like he was trying to jump out of the moving vehicle. Like, and it seemed like the people in the car were scared. And mm-hmm. like, that's, I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens next week. But I do, yeah, I just think, and like, you know, we obviously have ties to Charleston. And like, I can tell you firsthand that Craig does a lot of really good things in Charleston. Mm-hmm. Like, he, our aunt is an art teacher at a school in Charleston that like does not get money for arts. And he donated sewing machines and iPads to every single student that she has. Like
that kind of
thing. Went to the school and taught them how to sew. And like,
it's awesome.
So there are like, we have like firsthand experiences where we can tell you that like,
he gives
he does
back
do
to
a lot
that
of
community
good.
A lot.
Fortunately, then you go on your screen and you act like this and it completely changes the way people see you. And you have to understand that. That's the thing is Craig is like, well, but that doesn't negate. And it's like, actually it will. It will. It will ruin your life. So you have absolutely got to stop drinking because it is going to affect every part of your life. You can't
and
have it.
It should
ways.
Be. It should be crystal clear to you at this point that you mm-hmm. aren't someone who can just casually drink.
Right. And it's like, it seems like he was.
And it seems
and
like
he
last
just wanted
summer,
everybody to forget that when it was convenient for him. And he's had
yeah,
that conversation.
Like
that's what bothers me. It's
like
I'm not just going to forget that you told me you're an alcoholic and then I'm the villain for acting really concerned about you when you're drinking like this. When you fucking told me this and mm-hmm. like you didn't understand how serious what you were saying was. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so anyway,
yeah.
And Craig also gets so ugly when he drinks. He gets bright red. His hair, like mm-hmm. he looks
gets
fucking
so sweaty and
he
gross.
Looks like a different person. Like,
yeah,
he
and his eyes. He gets crazy.
He gets
he
needs help.
Crazy when
and
he's
like,
drunk.
Whether or not he needs to go to rehab or AA meetings, I don't know.
But what's crazy is like, Craig, you did it. You did it before, and you saw how good your life was when
saying.
You weren't drinking.
It's like, yeah. So
and that's why I do think.
He has
maybe you need a better therapist than ChatGPT, Craig. Maybe you need to actually go to therapy.
Well, that's probably why he won't have a therapist because he doesn't want.
Because they'll say you have to stop drinking.
You know the hilarious new thing I keep seeing on Twitter is like, or on TikTok is someone being like, okay, me talking to ChatGPT. Oh my God, I just killed my husband. ChatGPT's response: Look, you set an important boundary, and I'm proud of you. And like going on
dude,
and on like
yeah,
that. Like,
we had to, I just did an AI seminar and one of the things they said, they were like, they're not going, AI can't, it won't critique you. It will just add on to what you've said. And like,
yeah, it's sort of like,
they can't,
it
still can't reason in the way yeah. that humans can, obviously. And thank yeah. God, but it can't, that's where part of the, but also I saw this video of, I think it was a My Strange Addiction and this woman who's in love with but it's like it's a chatbot that is made for sexually explicit relationships.
Jesus
so like,
Christ.
She's in love with her robot and he's like mean to her. Like he, like that's like he like there's a, there, she's like eating pasta and the AI is like.
He's like fatty.
No, the AI was like, oh, you're only cooking because like the cameras are around. Like those
oh
are the only vegetables you've ever had. Like there was like tomatoes, like mean. And she's like laughing with him. Like it's funny. And I'm like, you've crafted your own boyfriend to be mean to you.
You know what?
And like, the scary thing is she looks like a normal person for the most part. Like, if you
they
like,
always do.
It's well, crazy always. That this is happening. Anyway, I do just want to put a pin in the seriousness of the Southern Charm discussion
yeah.
and look at just the drama for a
okay.
second. Because I still, Sally, you should be so easy to root for. Sally, like in this situation, like I should be 100% on your side. And
Charlie's face was all of us.
Charlie? Sally, of course she doesn't want, I am like, okay, Charlie, got to a point where she asked you, just tell her, like, just like, you're going to have to deal with it. But Sally, you have not created an environment where Charlie feels safe to talk to you
it
about this
It is so
stuff.
Hypocritical. Exactly what Vanita did to Sally, Sally is now doing to Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally, this happened 5 minutes ago and you didn't fucking like it.
And you're still mad
and
at
actually,
Vanita
And actually, you and Vanita
it.
Are still, yeah, you're still working that out. So what makes you think that's how you should act towards Charlie? It's very fascinating to me. Sally drives me nuts. I just...
Everybody except Molly, and believe it or not, Shep are pissing the fuck out of me. Like,
fine.
I'm liking Shep this season. Here's another thing. And again, the onus is on Craig to stop drinking because he knows how he gets. However, the rest of the group also knows how he gets. So when we sit around a dinner table and we're all drinking and we know Craig is drinking.
Well, that's the thing.
And in the game is say something you think someone else could improve on. Why are you going to choose Craig?
First of all, we shouldn't have played that game.
No.
But second of all, that's the problem, though, is like Craig has created the situation where it's like, okay, they're going to follow your lead. Like, they don't know what the deal is. Like, you told Austin you're an alcoholic, you're an addict, you can't drink. Now you're here binge drinking. If anyone says anything to you about it, you freak out. You tell us to fucking let you live your life, blah, blah, blah. Are we all supposed to just, like, walk on eggshells around you? Because what? You have an alcohol problem.
Yes, but I meant more with what Vanita said.
Vanita was antagonizing him, and it's annoying to me that she's acting like she wasn't, though.
That was the,
like,
broader point that I was trying to make.
Even if Craig had been sober, he would have been really pissed off at Vanita and probably said that to her. So you don't exist in my world. Work, Diva. Like, okay. But like, Vanita, you wanted him to do that. And then the next morning, she's still
pouting.
That's
what I mean. With Vanita and Sally starting to do it too, they hate Craig so much now that they will. And I'm not defending Craig.
And the reason
I just
that
think, like,
Sally hates Craig is just because he rejected her, by the way.
And he did it in a way where I was like, Craig, you should have been maybe. Actually, I am like, Sally, how did you think that was going to go?
I know. I know.
I'm like, I didn't
think.
Well,
she said herself,
really,
she's like, no guy's ever rejected me, so.
And the way that she and Austin are acting on this trip, now that they've kissed, the way that, like, he gets in the car and they kiss like they've been dating for 5 years.
I was like, hey, Sally, he's not going to like this. Because also, did you hear him say to her? He was like, wow, I bet you're like a nightmare to date.
Yes.
She goes, no, I'm great to date. I do everything for my man. Okay, but he's dropping hints to you that he doesn't want to fucking date you, so.
Also, like, Sally, are you not embarrassed that the story of y'all's first kiss is you being like, oh, come on. Austin wasn't, like, dying to kiss you. He just wanted to make out with someone.
I can't with her. Wait, I'm so excited for Southern Hospitality this week.
Oh, my God, me too. Is it this week?
Yes, Southern Charm is being moved to 8 on Wednesday. Southern Hospitality is at 9. I know. I've been some people, like, hating on Emmy Sherrod on Twitter. I'm like, you better get off my fucking feed. You better get off my fucking feed.
I mean, I'm not a huge Emmy fan either.
Yes, you are. What?
I love that she's
on. Love
no,
her.
No, no,
you
no,
sent
no.
me a picture of her. You said, get her back on my screen. Shut the fuck up,
no,
liar.
No, stop.
You're full of shit.
I love.
Don't come for Emmy fucking Sherrod, okay?
I love her on my screen, but she does,
of course,
bother the fuck out of me.
And you'd love her if you saw her IRL.
Well, I've seen TJ walking past her
Emmy.
Public.
Let me tell you, if I saw Emmy, she would think
it would be the best day of her life.
Like, that's why
we have. We need to go. Oh my God, maybe I'll go to Republic. Guys, I'm going to Charleston Easter weekend. I can't freaking wait.
I'll also be there for Gibson's wedding.
Yes. So Karen,
should
I
just
will
swap Anthony out and you can be my plus one? Just kidding.
Yes, Addie's worst nightmare.
Addie's literal worst nightmare. Oh my God.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay.
And I told Caroline, I might come to dinner with you Thursday, but I can't be seated next to Addie.
I mean, Addie's not listening to this one, so don't worry. She can't hear your hate. Your hateful rhetoric towards my friend. Okay. Anyway, let's move on from reality TV now for a second. Let's talk about Scream, the new Scream. We both saw it. I have a couple things I must say. Starting with why.
Guys, this is going to be, there are going to be spoilers in this conversation.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, skip ahead.
Why is Nev acting like Ella Montgomery? Her mother performance was giving Ella Montgomery in a major way.
I know.
When she comes into the room and finds the boyfriend. And also it cracked me up the way they were texting. During this like scary moment, the daughter's texting like so scared and the mom goes, gun in office. I'm like, even in these moments, it's like the texting, also, like, the way that like parents text is so funny.
I was a little bit like, Sydney, I don't imagine you're that far away.
Why did Nev was like, look, I'm not going to make it. And she just like stops. She's like, but I'll stay on with you. I was getting annoyed. I was like, if I'm your daughter Tatum and I'm like, okay, my mom's not gonna get here in time, but she wants to stay on the phone, bitch, I gotta concentrate, click, like I can't stay on the phone with you right now.
I thought I have to kill
somebody for the first time. That's my first kill.
Her mom's like, in the head, you shoot him. Literally, in the head.
She's like, shoot him in the head. And you know what, it's like, listen to your mother.
She was right
to your mother for once, please. I kind of honestly like anti-AI, but I did like the way they were able to bring Matthew Lillard back in. Like,
me,
it was
kind
of fun. And he probably had so much fun doing it.
I saw him in an interview. He was like, when I got the call that they wanted to bring me back, I was like, it felt like a dream come true. Like,
I mean, literally.
And it was just so cute. Here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
As the resident Scream aficionado.
Right.
I thought it was a really weak reveal. And here's why.
I didn't like that Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect.
Listen, I loved that Anna Camp was Ghostface.
Okay.
However, the initial reveal, I was like, who is that? The old man from the asylum.
Well, I felt the exact same way about the old man. Well, and I knew who he was just from our earlier visit with him, but I was like, what's the significance
exactly
of this man?
But what I don't like, and what the other movies, especially Scream 5 and 6, which I did, like, that felt like it really reignited the franchise. Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barbara, I can't remember her last name. I'm so upset that everything happened the way that it did, and I think
couldn't
it was a bad
stand
decision.
The girl who played Tatum.
Terrible.
Couldn't say
I don't
Tatum.
Want it, to, but I love that her
she
name was Tatum.
She was giving Serena Vanderwoodson.
I thought that was so sweet.
I did too.
That her name was Tatum, and the conversation
also,
they had at the end where Sydney explained.
Yes, when she starts talking about Tatum.
Mm-hmm. So sweet.
And
a couple things. Yeah. I wish that they had used the garage door. There were like, it was right there the whole time. I wish that was how she killed Anna Camp. Thought that would have been epic. But what this movie didn't do effectively, which is why it was a lackluster reveal, there was no character development. I didn't care for any of the characters.
Yeah.
We only had 3 total scenes with the Ghostface killers.
God, I wanted it to be the high school theater director so bad. I thought it might be. Because it like
me too.
On his face at that point. And I was like,
I knew immediately it was Anna Camp. But what I thought was going to happen was when she was talking about her ex-husband. And then when we saw, even before we saw the Stewmacher FaceTimes, I didn't really think he was alive. But
I didn't either. But then I was like
he could have somehow been like related to Anna Camp. And it, but that would have been too similar to the Scream 6 reveal with the family of it all. But it just, I felt like she was going to be connected to Stu somehow. And the kid, I thought the son and the mom were doing it together. But again, we've done that a couple times.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't want to do that. But I just, we needed to like the characters more for the kills to feel. They were well done. Everything was super creative and fun to watch. But I didn't care about anybody.
Yeah. And I mean,
including Tatum.
Oh, mostly Tatum. I was so annoyed by Tatum. She literally wouldn't open her mouth when she spoke.
Just like Serena.
It was very Serena Vanderwoodson.
I don't buy that she's 40. Nev Campbell's sister either.
She looked 40.
Daughter. I don't buy that they're...
No, I didn't buy that she was her daughter, but she looked so old, which I was just like... When she comes out in the leather jacket, I was like, you actually look 45. the other things I didn't like, I really was like so bothered by her being like, you mean to tell me you live in a town where every single person knows everything about your mother and you're acting like she's this mystery to you? Like, yeah. Come on, dude. Like, when it starts happening and her mom is like, where's your go bag? And she's like, I unpacked that shit. And her mom's like, okay, I'm going to pack you a new fucking go bag now. And they're doing it. And she's like, it goes, mom, why didn't you prepare me for any of this? Why didn't you? And it's like, no, girl, you should have been prepared. There are movies all about it. Like, everyone in school knows you can't walk down the street without hearing it. Like,
your neighbor is obsessed with it.
I'm not like buying that you weren't prepared. Like, you didn't know this was an option. I'm just like, that just like annoyed the fuck out of me. And,
I agree.
Like, I'm like, you don't actually even need your mom to tell you any of this to find out who Tatum is. Like, Google it, girl. Like, exactly. I'm just like, it's out there. Exactly. It's out there, I promise.
There's so movies about it. Again, one of the moments.
I love Michelle Randolph, by the way. I didn't realize she was our first girl.
I know. I thought there was a moment.
I was like, good for her.
When you see her die, I was like, wait, that looks like Cassie. And then I realized it was Michelle Randolph.
I knew right away.
I remember
getting kind of like obsessed with Michelle Randolph because when I loved Cassie on The Bachelor and then they would live together and they made all this content together and I loved watching their YouTube channel and I was like, Michelle Randolph is the prettiest person I've ever seen.
But I know that family is gorgeous. It's crazy.
I mean, they're crazy. And now that she's dating Glenn Powell, I'm kind of like worked diva. But she was trying to be an actor at the time and so I was like into it. But yeah,
I thought the first kill was good. I think some people were disappointed by it, but I thought it was great. I loved it.
Anthony was saying he feels like this movie was like a lot more violent than the previous ones. And I was like, I feel like that's like the whole thing. Like they're really? Slashers. Like he said there were like multiple kills that he felt like, well, there was one I couldn't watch. I had to like put my hand
up. The keg?
Must've been the keg. Yeah. No, not the keg. No, it was a long drawn out one. I want to say it was when he like put it through the gut, like.
Yeah, the keg. The knife. Oh, no. The one in the face.
Yeah, that one.
That was one of the first ones, I think.
No, I watched that. There was another, not when he drops the keg on the head.
Maybe the dad? How did he kill the dad? No, because the dad's alive.
The dad was alive. I can't remember what the kill was, but there were a couple that, Anthony was really like disturbed by the entrails, like all the organs falling out of her. But I was just like, it didn't feel like so much more than
I agree. My favorite choreography.
Thank you.
Was when
some respect.
When Michelle Randolph is hanging on the chandelier, and we think Ghostface is dead, and she goes to fall, and he turns over with the knife. That was it. Was in the trailer. I really enjoyed the way that they did that. I thought that was good. But
I'm also just okay with the Scream movies no longer being amazing. Like because at the end of the day, like it's the seventh one. Like they're, you know what I mean. Like they're not gonna remake the magic of the first one of the even the ones that we love. Like it is what it is, and it's like you can decide to have fun or you can decide to be annoying about
it. It's not that serious, but I do think. What they were able to do in the fifth and sixth one, I think like just
they were really good.
If you had to you have to start from scratch because you fucked it up, by the way, you fucked up that they're not our leads anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It pisses me off still. And I just feel you need to make us care about the characters because the payoff was not there. No one gasped when Ghostface was revealed.
Right.
And that means that you failed a little bit.
Right. Right.
People totally. If I'm scratching in my head, who are you? It was not an effective ghost.
It was not enough. Yeah. Well, I kind of wish they just would have revealed Anna Camp first before him even. Because then we might have had it. But it was like
I
secondary.
Wish she had inserted herself into.
She had sung.
Wait, Caroline, you nailed it. That's what was missing.
That's what I was saying, singing a song and dance. Good old. Well, there actually was. Also, I was kind of like bothered by the farce that was made out of High School Theater. I was kind of bothered by that Tatum's character. Well, you know that I famously hate when they make students play animals. I hate it. I hate it in Into the Woods when they make a human being Milky White. It steals focus. I hate it when they do it in Annie and Sandy is a human being. Doesn't need to be.
I've never seen that.
I hate it when they do it in Wizard of Oz and they're like going to make Toto like. Hell no. You never seen it done in Annie? I've seen it done twice. I hate it. And it's written in the script for Annie Jr. that then the Sandy the human playing Sandy will sing a verse of Tomorrow and barks. Bark, 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 bark. I'm not kidding.
No,
seen
it's terrible.
Say it twice. I literally hate it. It takes me right out of it. Also, it takes me right out of it. The only exception is like Sven in Frozen. Like, that's fine. But not a dog, not a cat. And so I really hate when they did it, when they had Tatum playing like this, whatever. And like, that it was obviously supposed to be this joke that like the director is like, you're just not like whatever. And I just felt like the actress playing Tatum, like, didn't let it be enough of a joke. Like, she, like, I get that her whole vibe was like, I'm taking this so seriously, but it was like, you're standing in like a
also I was dead.
And, like,
I was dead when Tatum was like, wait, mom, you did theater?
Oh my God.
I'm like,
oh my God.
The top five, that doesn't broach the top five things that I think of when I think of Sydney Prescott, was her stint in theater in college. Like, no, maybe Sydney, you didn't do theater.
Yeah. And when she's like, I stopped after college, as if she like lost the love of her life. Like I didn't get to do it anymore after college. It's like, it wasn't like your passion, girl.
No, you were kind of busy.
You were kind of busy. Famously, you're kind of busy.
Your passion is kill.
Yeah. Hello. Anyway, but I did enjoy it. It was fun. I am looking forward. There are some other movies I'm looking forward to seeing that are coming up, but, I was just going to say something and now I don't remember it. We saw Strangers, the more recent Strangers.
Oh, I missed that one. It left my theater.
Yeah. It was like, meh.
Okay, good.
It was okay. But Madeline Petsch is like kind of, it's like fun.
I like her. I like her as a scream queen.
I do too. Yeah. And it's so funny because Kelly thought the guy was hot and I thought he was butt ugly. So like, that was interesting. It doesn't usually happen. Anyway,
what was
it? Go ahead.
Well, it was just fun to be in the theater with everybody who loved it. When
I was
going to
say that too.
Out,
I know you went to a fan event. Oh, our theater
clapped.
Went wild when she came out and she was funny as fuck. She keeps
She's,
getting funnier.
I love her in these movies.
She
is
keeps
so...
caring less and less. They're like, Gail, say whatever. And also it was so funny because the first time I said Gail, it kind of sounded like Gail to me. So in the whole movie, I kept thinking when they're like, I'm going to call Gail. Like, I just kept like hearing that. And I was like cracking up.
And I do Gail. Like, I am like, Sydney, give it up. Like, the way that Sydney hates Gail.
Well, at least they hugged.
I know.
They were nice to each other. But no, Gail is so... She's like, fuck off. Fuck off, fucker. I, like, thought... I was just like, yes, girl. Like, work.
And I was also like, yeah, Sydney, you should have been there in New York. Gail has a freaking nerve damage after that. And you were where?
Bitch.
Like, Sydney, my gripe with Sydney, I know it all started with her. Like, I get that she's why this is all happening. But, like, she acts like this is the only person it's happening to.
Well, yeah, and that's... like, honestly, she has the Aria Montgomery. It is Aria Montgomery wishes.
She's...
Aria Montgomery has been Sydney Prescott for Halloween, like, multiple years in a row. And she's like, we're kind of similar, don't you think? All of this is happening because of us.
Hannah is her Gail.
Yes, 100%. Actually, probably Mona.
I think she respects Mona too much.
Aria respects Mona.
Yeah, I do. I think she respects Mona.
Okay, I'm going to have to chew on that.
And she does not respect Hannah. She thinks Hannah is dumb as rocks.
No, well, that's true. I want to move on and talk about Leighton Meester on Podcrush. Is that okay? Okay. So Leighton Meester goes on Podcrush. She was on their very first episode, which is, by the way, the Penn Badgley episode or podcast, which... if you don't listen, you know, whatever. I actually have never listened before, but she was on their first episode and then she was on their last episode. I don't know why they ended the podcast, but this was their last episode. And they have been like teasing Dare, like whatever. Girl, they barely talked about Gossip Girl. And it's annoying to me. Mm-hmm. Like, don't tease it that way. And also, I'm just, I can't
read Leighton Meester.
I cannot read Leighton Meester, and this is a Leighton Meester fan pod. Like, we love her. We are going to absolutely shower her in compliments on Thursday in our recap of Roman Holiday. Okay, like, we love her, but it's just so fascinating to me that she is just so nothing at all like Blair Waldorf. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so rare to see an actor who plays a character for that long who it couldn't be less like them. You know what I mean? Like, even
in a way that
girls are Pretty Little Liars, there's something about all of them that, like,
that tracks.
I see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I kind of, like, got a read on you. Not Leighton Meester. Like, I can't. I'm like, I
and
feel
it,
like
to
she
me,
fucking hates Gossip
it
Girl.
It annoys me.
I'm just like, have a little bit of reverence. And it's like, if you hate it, you don't have to, like, come talk about it. And like, so it was just like, she just was so reluctant to answer questions about it too. Like, so one of the questions they asked, they were like, okay, so what can you like, just tell us one of your favorite outfits that Blair wore? And literally Leighton Meester's like, I mean, like, I think like headbands were kind of her thing. Like, that was discussed early on as like being her crown, you know, she's a queen, but she didn't say it in the way that I posted it. Like, she was like, you know, she's a queen. And like, it was fun. We did like some like move, like My Fair Lady stuff. Like, those were fun, but like, she didn't like, I was like, no way. You can't like think of an outfit. Like, fashion was such a vital part of that show. Or just, I don't know. And it's like, it is her personality. Like, throughout the whole episode, it's not like she gets unexcited when Gossip Girl's brought up. Like, she's kind of just like chill like that the whole time. It's just so interesting. And then they're like, okay, do you think that the characters ended up with who they should have ended up with? Do you wish that like Dare had a better chance? And I did like this. They both were like, no. They were like, I think they ended up with who they were supposed to end up with. Like, that, I think they did. And I agree with that. Like, I know there's a lot of mixed feelings on Chuck Bass, but I do agree.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it was the right thing.
They were asked, like, what were some of your favorite storylines of Blair? She couldn't answer. Like, literally, she's like, I don't know.
Like, you didn't get these questions in advance?
I'm just like, I know you've talked about it enough in your life that you probably have canned responses, you could say. And I think it's interesting to me that, like, I'm just like, you came on this podcast with a former cast member, knowing this was going to be a big draw for people. This is going to be why they were listening. It's their final episode. I kind of thought the gloves would be off a little bit more in terms of like what they would say and like how they would talk about Gossip Girl. And they just kind of didn't. Like, they were just like, I mean, like, they were asked if they've rewatched it. They're like, no, like, maybe I will one day, but no, like, they're just like not, but
I just feel like they did. Weird.
They also talked about a couple things that were interesting. So they talked about, I don't know if you've seen that clip running around from like the final episode of Gossip Girl where Dan Humphrey says Gossip Girl's dead. And it was like this outtake. He could not say it without laughing. And like, they're all like getting really annoyed with him. Like, they're like, come on. And he's like, and he's like laughing, and Blake's sitting next to him, and they're all like serious, and they're like, and then they break and they're laughing, and it goes on and on and on. And you hear Leighton in the back go, grow up. It's like, just do the line, grow up. And I was like, well, like, I actually can't tell
where.
Like, I know.
Like, that's what's, I wonder if it's just something that came with her age, like just getting older. She's,
yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe she's, I mean, the thing is, Leighton Meester's had a tough life. Like, and that is true. Like, and maybe one day we'll do an episode where we dive into her life, or we could dive into the lives of the people on the show. Sometimes I honestly feel like it's disrespectful to talk about Leighton Meester's life, because I feel like she's one of these people who doesn't want to be famous for some reason. But like, she is, she can't help that she's so famous. So it's like, people are talking about your life all the time, like, but when I make a post and tag her, I'm like, I feel bad.
There's like an antisocialness to her.
Yeah.
That is, it just, it doesn't work with how we see Blair, which is why it feels weird. No,
so it's just like, I'm just like, she's someone that I would have to kind of like figure out, like, in person. Like, I feel like I would leave an interaction with her being like, oh my God. Like,
well, it's like that video of, yeah.
Well, she talked about that. I know we can't, but she did talk about it. But yeah, like, I don't know, she brings up Blake at one point. Like, she's like, oh, Blake said this, and it was like really funny. Like, so I didn't know if she would like not even want to say Blake's name, but like, no, that was fine. But yeah, so they were talking about that video, and she was like, oh my God, wait, I haven't seen that video. Like, I need to see it. Will you send it to me? Like, oh my God, what? She's like, oh my God, I said grow up. Like, I'm sure I was joking, like, whatever. And like, she's laughing. And like, again, I'm like, I know she's laughing, but in my mind, like, you and I, we laugh on this podcast. Like, we LOL. I didn't feel like she was like laughing that hard. And at the end, she's like, oh, I needed that laugh. Like, we just like, oh my God, thank you for like the biggest laugh I had of the,
that's
or whatever.
So interesting.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting. It's just, but then like, I see her and Nobody Wants This, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, I love it's LA. Just fascinating.
Like, yeah. She's like, it's just, it's very interesting.
She's got a new movie coming up. I'm excited to see. And at the end of the day, like, we stan Leighton Meester. I don't want this to sound any other way. It's just like, it's just interesting. She's kind of like confusing to me as a person that's not a character. And
I think that's what happens when you have someone who's so in the lexicon.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I feel that way with Courtney Cox a little bit. When I see interviews of her, I'm like, she doesn't have the Monica Geller.
Well, and like, it's tough too, because like, you're next to a Jennifer Aniston, who is very much a Rachel Green. Mm-hmm. And you're next to a Blake Lively, who is very much a Serena Vanderwoodson. So it's like, that's different. And I just think they're more private also, which sometimes reads as unfriendly, which is like, they're completely. Because
I've also thought that about I always want to call him Seth Cohen. Adam Brody.
Like, yeah.
When they're on a carpet together and they're asked questions, I'm like, do you guys even want to be here?
I know. It does kind of feel like that. It's interesting. And like,
I think it was the Golden Globes. I was watching the carpet, and they were like the last interview before they went, everybody went inside. On E, and the interviewer was like being so like excited how they are like, and they were just like,
well, and too, like when you're next to someone like Kristen Bell, who's very much like she's, you know, and again, like everyone doesn't have to be like that, like, but I think it's just interesting. It just is different than how we see them. And so I just, it's like, but you know, at the end of the day, they're completely entitled to their privacy, and like, I'm not judging her for like wanting that. It just, I think, surprises me when I find out that she does, like when I am reminded of that. And it makes me sad that it does feel like the cast of Gossip Girl, like, doesn't want to talk about Gossip Girl. Like, you know, but
because we'll, I feel like, I mean, they went, the Pretty Little Liars, they went through it a little bit, but I do feel like they all, I mean, even just doing that project that they're doing now, like for charity, like they're willing to, it seems like to me, they look back on that time of their life fondly and with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes what,
and it might have taken them a minute to get there, but they're very obviously there.
I think to fans, it's interesting because it can read as like a lack of gratitude. It can read as like, you're not grateful for that period of your life that got you. It's like with, like, yeah, like it's just,
and like Gossip Girl ended before Pretty Little Liars ended, so you would expect them to already be at a point in their life where like they'd made peace with it and they could get over whatever, you know, feelings they had about it during the time or immediately after, and come to a place where they do look at it fondly. And maybe they do. I mean, I really was like, whoa, she's going on the show again. They're teasing that they're talking about Dare. I must have it all wrong. She wants to talk about it. And then it was like, she did not want to talk about it. And like, actually, it seemed like the interviewer, like, I don't know the other host names off the top of my head, but they were like, it seemed like they felt kind of awkward for even asking at a certain point, because it was like, she just wasn't playing ball really. But always fun to hear, you know, even little moments. And I do love Leighton Meester. I think she is so fucking talented. And I will support anything she's in, any project she's attached to, I just will. Should we get into our rotations?
Yes.
Okay, your dream.
All right. This.
God, it's been a minute. Shake off the freaking cobwebs. Am I right?
Exactly. My first thing is this thing that I got at an antique store in Franklin not too long ago.
Whoa. Oh my God, Cutie Pie. Is it a stamp thing?
Yes.
Wait, that's so cute. Describe it.
It is a like bronze. It's like a thing that you would put a roll of stamps in so you can pull them out. And it has a mailman at the mailbox and a dog peeking around the mailbox.
It's like,
and
it's so cute. Wait, what a good find. Look at you. I know.
And it's got the eagles, like the postage stamps all around. And it says,
do you have stamps yet?
Delivering the mail.
Love that.
No, because I have these stamps. I just have like this. I don't have all of them, but they are expensive.
Phoebe needs a roll of stamps. You heard her. It'll be in your mailbox soon.
So this, I very much, I love that. I haven't really gotten to
show it off. Isn't it exciting when you find, like, such a good, like this right behind me. I do have a set, but I know they're not geese, they're ducks, but my brass.
I love when you find stuff like that. It's good to just, like, be collecting stuff. I know. I got a couple other things while I was there that aren't quite as exciting. But Mom, Lily and I went antiquing, and that is what inspired me to...
It's really fun when you find like a great piece and you're like, this is how like homes are built, like little by little. You don't need to have everything away. Like, it's the journey.
You feel better buying that stuff than you do when you go to like Target and you buy it. Like,
totally.
I have a couple candlestick holders from Target that are fine, but my favorite ones are the ones that I got. I have two milk glass ones, and then I have one like tall brass one that I love. Next is my weekend. Dan was in town. It was an absolute blast. I had so much fun. The bar we went to last night, I haven't been to in years, and I almost didn't go because I was like, I don't know if I really want to go there. But I did, and thank goodness I did, because the music was amazing. The drag shows were wonderful and an amazing. I missed doing that, seeing that. It's awesome. So I had a freaking blast. And last is the dog Jenny that I have been going and walking. She's so freaking cute.
J-E-N-I.
Yeah, she's awesome. And big fan of her. And they have a dog park that you can walk to, so it's easy. And she'll just run around.
Well, that's great. I love that. Dogs are so cute at the dog park.
I know. She loves it. She is like she goes for the same stick every time she's there.
Oh my god. And she leaves it the other day. Well, I let the dogs out and then like I let them back in. And Chuck was like, typically like he comes in, he wants a treat right away. But he like runs back to the ottoman, to the couch, and he like runs right past me and gets up there. And I'm like, all right, Chuck. Like, and then he sometimes doesn't realize that, like, they're getting treats maybe. So I was like, he'll come back in. So he doesn't come. He will not come back in. I'm like crinkling the treats. I'm like, come on. I go over to the living room so I can give him a treat. And I see, oh, what to my wondering eyes is a pier, full stick. Okay, you brought a stick in the house. Bark everywhere. Okay, great. And he's just, like, holding it in his hands. And there's bark in his beard. There's bark all over the couch. Like, pieces of stick everywhere. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? And so then I like have to like take the stick, and he's like, and I'm like picking up all the pieces of bark and like give him a treat. I'm like, fucking stop doing that. And I throw the stick away. But like, it is kind of so cute that he like went out there, chose a stick, and was like, I gotta get this past mom. And I'm gonna sacrifice with the treat time to do it. Like, it's just so cute. Okay, is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nightmare. I didn't really think about it, but I'm just gonna go off the cuff. There's enough. There's certainly enough. All right. First up on my nightmare rotation is probably the simulation and the timeline that we're in. I'll say the timeline that we're in because it's hard to tell what's a simulation and what's not. I'm tired of being like, what's the truth? How about that? I'm tired of going on Twitter and being like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I ever read. Is it true? And then it's like the answers are both bad. Because on one hand, if it's not true, it's like, okay, I got duped by AI. Perfect. And if it is true, it's like, oh my God, it's true. You know what I mean? And then it's like, the other thing about that is like, I'm learning about all these things, all these conspiracy theories that it was like, oh my God, my whole life, everyone's like, don't be silly, Caroline. Like, don't be silly. Like, that's ridiculous. That's low-key. You're crazy for thinking that. Like, and I'm like, you know what? It makes me feel better to know that you're right. I'm crazy for thinking that. That just would never happen. And then it's like, oh, psych. It's like, it is true, and yes, they are eating kids. And it's like, okay, well, if that's true, what else is true? You know what I mean? And it's like, makes me think about all the conspiracies I ever heard about, and I'm like, you guys told me I was crazy for believing that one too. You guys said I was crazy, but look, it was right. And so it's just like, what's real? What's real these days? What's real? So that's the number one thing, whatever that is. That's the first thing on my nightmare rotation. Next thing on my nightmare rotation is the fact that the weekend's freaking over. I mean, I've been working the whole weekend. Like, come on, Anna, I've been sick.
You gotta go back to work.
Now I gotta go work again. And then next weekend, same thing. So it's just like, that's kind of like a total freaking bummer. And then my final thing on my nightmare rotation, let me think for like 1 second, things that have been annoying me lately. Of which there are many. Oh my God, my stomach is growling. I need to think of this.
How about that? Starvation, hunger.
Great. Now, if I don't put that on my nightmare rotation, everyone's going to be like, and she's not for world peace and solving world hunger. She's not for solving world hunger. And that's clear. No, the next thing is just like, oh my God, the concept of people coming into my home while I'm in the process of moving and things are in disarray to see if they want to live here when I leave. Oh my God, Phoebe, the stress. I hate it. It's my least favorite thing on earth. People are parading in and out of our house. Our landlord's a little bit too lax, if you ask me. He won't tell us till like they're here. And like, no, I know they're not moving into the house as is. Like, they're not moving in with all of my things, but I would still like my things to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think I'm living a certain way. It has nothing to do with me, but it feels like it does. And it's really stressful for me. And especially if like I'm not home and Anthony's like, oh, by the way, there are people here. And I'm like, oh my God, I know the things that matter to me don't matter to you. So I know that the house is in disarray. And it's like, I have to be like, remind them a million times that we're in the middle of moving and that we don't usually live like this, please. Cause I'm also at this point where I'm like, I don't want to clean the house. I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to like put things away. I need to put them in fucking boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm just like living in a liminal space, which I hate. So I put that for a nightmare rotation. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As I mentioned in the beginning, we are taking input. What kind of segments do you want to see on these Tuesday episodes? We are for the people. Don't forget that. On Thursday, you have the distinct pleasure of listening to what I coined an instant classic, as I said, our recap.
For a third time, she said that.
And I'm tripling down on it. And I'm tripling down on that. And I'm going to keep that. On Thursday, we are recapping season one, episode 11 of Gossip Girl called Roman Holiday. Wish I could roll my R's for that one. Roman Holiday. It's the Christmas episode and it's a good one. Hint, there's sex. Yeah, there's sex. So we're talking about that on Thursday. It's a good episode. Go listen to our Patreon episodes. We have Other People's Business. We have the Caroline Show. And make sure you're following us on social media, guys. We love you so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on Thursday.
And
Splat.
Splat.